3:05. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Tuesday afternoon. It is another one of those absolutely glorious days. Today is a day to enjoy because tomorrow we got rain moving in. And I guess a pretty good chunk of rain, certainly in the morning and probably hitting us again early afternoon. President Trump has notched one or two victories at the Supreme Court level. Our friend, former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is going to be with us at 3:35. Looking forward to catching up with him and hearing what he makes of these recent decisions from the Supremes. Has there been a corner which has been turned? I don't know. But that's why we've got Joe Moreno joining us. The Oscars are moving further and further towards becoming participation trophies. I'll give you some details on that. More lies apparently coming from Team Biden when it comes to, well, everything, I know, but anybody else thinking that Karine Jean-Pierre right about now is saying to reporters, there's no, it's not true. Joe Biden does not have cancer. Because you know she would say that. You know that all of these buffoons would say that. And the cover-up, man, the cover-up continues. And I hate to say this, but I will be the bearer of bad news, or the bearer at least of honest statements. It will continue until Joe Biden actually passes away. It will. And there was a very, very interesting post that I saw earlier from a person. Well, Scott Allinger. He created Dilbert. He created the cartoon Dilbert. And he shared in his social media post that he, too, has this exactly the same sort of prostate cancer, according to him, as Joe Biden has. And he said he has been told he will be gone in about 2 months. 2 months at the outside. Now, I don't know the situation completely and totally with Mr. Biden, but it's interesting. And again, the timing of it. Anybody who does not think that it was time to coincide with the release of the Jake Tapper book today, you are out of your mind. You really, really should not go out alone. You need some help as you attempt to do anything and everything. You're just not quite where you need to be. All right. Well, listen, that's all of the very, very, very important stuff, and none of it particularly happy. However, I will tell you that I have some breaking news, and it is exclusive to the Jeff Katz Show. Now, you know, I have a wide variety of sources. I have ace reporters everywhere. And I have an update from one of my ace reporters, Emily Morrissey. Oh, yeah. Well, Emily Morrissey doesn't just make beautiful bracelets, Emily's Bracelets, emilysbracelets.com. No, she is following any number of stories. She is our designated Peppa Pig reporter. And there is a big report coming in from the Peppa Pig family. Mom had a little baby, a little girl pig. Mummy Pig had a baby girl, and she's named Evie. And Emily wanted to make sure early this morning, as soon as she became aware of this, that I had the update. Now I have the update, which means you have the update. So congratulations to the entire family over there, now including little baby Evie. Thank you. Thank you, Emily. Ace reporter on the spot. Never, ever miss a story when Emily is working the beat. All right, we got a lot of stuff that we will get to today. Let me remind you that the James River Air text line is always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You are thinking something and you think that everybody needs to know what it is, then by all means, hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. I will, I have to. I have to annoy you. And I know it's annoying, and I apologize, but it's the season. It's the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of competition. It always happens right around this year, right around this time of year, rather. And first there is the nomination process, and then there's the actual voting process. So the nominations continue, June 4th, right? I think it's June the 4th. And you'll need to go to the following website, go.richmond.com/the best, go.richmond.com/the best. There are a lot of my friends who are in the running for a lot of very, very appropriate prizes. Well, I mean, people want to be the best of, right? Yesterday, we were chatting with a couple of my pals, Dr. Brian Snyder, Janine Snyder, Chronic Care of Richmond, invariably selected as the best chiropractic practice in Central Virginia, and Weight Loss RBA, last year, big winner of the best weight loss facility. And anyway, so I'm going to put up a full list. I know that I'm a little remiss in that, and I do apologize. I've had a little bit of life going on. You know how that is. But I will get that together, I'm hoping, tonight. Poor Jeremy is also trying to figure out days that I will not be here over the next couple of months, because he's got to, I don't know exactly what he has to do. Maybe those days he plays the lottery because he feels really lucky. But Jeremy, I'm going to get that to you, I promise. And I have another favor. Oh, well, let me tell you what this first favor is. Please nominate The Jeff Katz Show for the best afternoon radio show. I haven't been over there in a couple of days, so I don't know what it looks like at the moment, but I would ask you to please nominate The Jeff Katz Show for the best afternoon radio show. I got a number of good suggestions for the plaque maker of all plaque makers. And so I'm going to make a couple of calls and send a couple of emails and see what we have in that area. Well, we're starting. There's going to be, I can't give you too many details on this, but there's going to be another award that I am going to bestow. And that's all I'm going to say right now. But it is such a major undertaking. And it's going to be such a huge, huge thing that I want to be sure the very first time that we present it, this plaque that is presented to whomever the recipient might be, I'm not giving any clues at all, but to whomever it is that gets it, that they will be appropriately impressed. And, you know, we need more hate. Everybody talks about love and get together and work together. You know, I listen in the mornings, right? And Rich Herrera, God bless him. Oh, we should work together. No, we need more hate right about now. So what I ask you to do, you know, we used to have a sponsored hate voicemail. We did. We had it. It was sponsored. People made money on it. I mean, we were living the American dream, all based in pure contempt and hatred for yours truly. I know it's tough to understand, but it's out there. So I would suggest, please, since now what we do is purely text, the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, send a little hate my way, will you? Seriously, I'm looking for a good hate text or two or ten. Now, you need to be creative. You need to be imaginative, which I know can be difficult for those who are, well, you know, haters. But an obscenity is not creative. It is what it is. Profanity is not really all that creative, unless it is a creative use of profanity, in which case it becomes almost like another language. But of course, I won't be able to share that on the air. So then, you know, what the heck's the point of being creative and sending it? So if you do have nothing but contempt and hatred for me, that's fine. I don't mind living in your head rent-free at all. But put it down as a text, would you please? The James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Again, make it creative. And if it's really creative, I promise I will share it. What else did I want to mention to you? Oh, Amazon. Does anybody know if Amazon really is selling 8647 merchandise? A couple of folks mentioned that to me, and I've been out all day. I got to tell you, this is the first chance I've had basically to sit down for more than a couple of moments. Heidi and I were out doing a few things. So if you've seen any of that 8647 merchandise out there, is it really over on Amazon? I'm finding it difficult to believe, but unfortunately not that difficult to believe. But again, you can hit me up with the James River Air text line. Let me know if you've seen it. 833-804-1140. 315, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. And now there's a new sister, Evie. Congratulations. I was going to say Mazel Tov, but that seems sort of inappropriate for the pig family. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Hey, wishing them well. Let me see. 804, hit me up with the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, the lies about Papa Joe will continue from the grave. Oh, I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. 804, Jeff, word is that Amazon is selling the 8647 merchandise. Ugh. 804, Jeff, as an avid Trump supporter and mostly right-leaning Republican, I feel the conservative media should take the high road and allow President Biden to live out his days in peace. The election is over. Time to move on. No, totally disagree with you. No, I do. I totally disagree. I agree with this. Let Joe Biden have whatever time he has left to enjoy the time that he has left. I don't have a problem with that part of it. But I am not going to pretend that it was not a massive coordinated effort to deceive and lie. Sorry, not going to let that go. And it's not just the Democrat Party hacks who are in on it. People like Abigail Spanberger, who is continuing to lie about everything because that's what she's always done. But they lied about all of this from day one. They all knew what was going on with Biden. Now they're all trying to say, I didn't spend much time with him. I was only there on the good days. Huh. Okay. If you say so, but I don't believe you. And the Jake Tappers of the world, what an absolute farce that is, which, by the way, this little commentary germ, not going to move us further up on that Jake Tapper thing that I tried to do. But nonetheless, I'll tell the truth about him. I think he's another phony, another fraud, another hypocrite, another liar, another one who's trying to pimp his book. Now, I don't mind him pimping his book. Lord knows I have a variety of things that on a regular basis I am trying to sell. It's part of my business. However, he was part of that cover-up. That Schmuck Todd character was part of the cover-up. They were all in on that. That's how much they hate Donald Trump. And by extension, that's how much they hate us. Yeah. Todd in the West End. All right, now this is like the first official new hate text. Todd, I can't share that on the air. I mean, I get what you're saying, but no. All right. John from New Kent says, Jeff, I am saving all my hate for Rich in his morning. In the morning, and his we must compromise with Democrats attitude. All right, Herrera, there you go. You got your first official afternoon hate from John in New Kent. Let's see. Jeff, I just checked on my Amazon account. Yep, T-shirts, hats, stickers, etc. that say 8647 are now for sale on Amazon. Man, that is just ugly. Wow. Ernie from Chesterfield says, hey, Jeff, they absolutely are selling the 8647 shirts, stickers, coffee mugs, and more on Amazon. Tiny Tim hits out and says, Jeff, play some more of the Rubio embarrassing Tiny Tim Kaine. Hey, Germ, can we grab some more of that? Because Marco was absolutely on fire. And, well, let's not kid ourselves. Tiny Tim was, as per usual, out of his weight class. But it really was rather entertaining. Wasn't it? Well, I think it is. I think it's very entertaining. We'll we'll get a little more of that. Yeah, yeah. 804, hey, Jeff, we all know that Abigail Spanberger worked for the CIA. Do you really believe what she has to say? No, I wouldn't believe Abigail Spanberger if, in fact, she handed me an umbrella while it was raining and said, look, this is for you. Look, it's raining. Nope. Sorry, I wouldn't believe anything Abigail Spanberger has to say, mainly because I know her to be a proven liar. But other than that, fine person. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Oh, we got lots of great stuff going on. And I got to tell you, in the background, we have a beautiful day. Weather-wise, goodness gracious, this is fantastic. And I would urge you, open a window, get outside. Tomorrow, early, rain is moving in. It's going to be really heavy in the morning. And depending on what I'm looking at here, is either going to stick around right through the afternoon or it's going to reappear in the afternoon. But any way you slice it, tomorrow is going to be a washout. President Trump has sort of a mixed record at the Supreme Court these days, but there were a couple of things that I thought seemed pretty positive. The Supreme's saying, yeah, you could revoke the temporary protection, if I understand it correctly, for certain people. Now, I am not an attorney, as you know, not even close. And that means that I bring in the very best that I can. Even if I were an attorney, I would still bring in the best legal mind. That, of course, former federal prosecutor, friend of mine, great guy, Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Counselor, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, you're too kind, as always, but great to be here with you.
It is always great to have you here, sir. Let us dive right into this. The Supreme Court has had one or two things to say about some of these measures that have come before them relative to the president. Is he on the winning side or the losing side when you look at percentages or at bats?
You know, I'd say he's on the winning side. I think that the vast majority of these several dozen cases, which are stalled at the district court level for various reasons, the vast majority will go to the Trump administration's favor eventually, but that's when they get to the Supreme Court. And as you've seen, only a few have trickled up there at this point because it takes a while, unless you convince the justices to accelerate it. And so I think, we can, you know, before we dive into them, I think it's fascinating, not just from us, you know, for us legal nerds, but for everyone, I think, to see very much the civics lesson that we're getting these days, the difference between executive power and what the legislative does, right? The difference between regulations and statutes. What is exactly the role of the judiciary, right? Our Article III branch of government. And so, I think it's really fascinating to see the push-pull that's happening right now. And it's very clear, right? The left is using the courts as their last bit of power, right, to try to impede the Trump administration as best they can. So let's touch on the first one that you mentioned, which is the temporary protected status case, right, the TPS case for Venezuelan migrants. So Joe Biden, right, in his sort of infinite wisdom, stretched beyond the breaking point his powers of president in order to basically facilitate as much illegal immigration as possible. And so he took a system, the TPS system, which is supposed to exist for case-by-case situations where someone can make a credible argument that they are seeking protected status because the country where they're coming from is so unpleasant, is so dangerous, is so you know, difficult for them to be there. And let's face it, those places exist. I'm not saying they don't. But what President Biden did was he just provided this status to swaths of people. I think it was about 250,000 people from Venezuela alone. So here you have this sort of broad application of a program that was never meant to be used this way. Then you have the court stepping in saying, well, we know one president applied the program this way, but we're not going to let the next president reverse it. We want these to go case by case. So hundreds of thousands of cases, the district courts would want to kind of flow through the courts one by one. So we're talking about not only is the program misused, now the courts are making it near impossible to unwind its misuse. So that's the situation that was before the court this week.
And when you look at the comments or the decisions or what have you, or who was on which side, what did the people, what did the justices on what I would say was the other side, the folks who said, oh, no, we should keep doing this crazy thing where we let Biden apply it any way he wants, and then we tell Trump, no, you can't do it anyway except the way Biden did it. I'm assuming that's Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is that, would those be the three?
That's normally the three, but actually in the TPS case, it went 8-1 with Brown Jackson being the only one. So
what?
You know you're in a bad position when you get
holy, oh boy, if I would have taken the over-under on that, I'm losing my entire, wow. Is she even allowed to come to the break room anymore?
If you're the left, and this was your case, you know you've got a weak hand when you've lost two out of three of the progressives. I mean, that's pretty darn bad. You don't see that too often. And I think for those of us who on the legal side come at things with a more conservative, bent on things,
yeah.
I think what we find so frustrating with some of these judges or justices at the Supreme Court level is that you kind of always know. You usually know where they're going to come out because it's the favored, it's the favored outcome that they want. And then they figure out a clever legal argument how to back into it. Mm-hmm. And, look, if that's the way they want to run their courts, that's, seems like that's the way they do it. The conservative side of being a judge of the judicial process is not to determine what the conservative political conclusion is and then find a way to get there. It's to apply the law in a way as narrowly focused to how you believe Congress intended it to be, not how a creative president or secretary of DHS or other clever executive wanted to apply that law. And so I think that's why it's so frustrating when we see these wacky results from a court. Thankfully, in this case, we got a pretty sound result. Basically, where the court said, no, the Trump administration is free to unravel things. The courts cannot apply case-by-case determination, and the district court, therefore, has to let the Trump administration proceed with unwinding the program.
Joe Moreno is joining us, a former federal prosecutor, brilliant attorney, practices all over the world, is on media around the world. Joe, I want to ask you about another justice, actually two other justices, because while the left probably just outraged on many ways that Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was the only one on, quote, their side on this case, a lot of the folks on my side of the aisle, the conservative side of the aisle, say, you can't trust John Roberts and this Amy Coney Barrett, man. She's like the latter day David Souter. She's gone all bent. She's not doing what she's supposed to. Is that the case, or are they so enamored with that judicial process that there's something else at play?
Well, I mean, it's kind of both, right? I think many of us on the conservative side have not forgiven Chief Justice Roberts for the Affordable Care Act decision, where he was the deciding vote in a 5-4 decision to allow Obamacare to exist, coming up with a very, very creative way to keep that statute alive. And so I think a lot of us, even though it's been how many years, haven't forgotten that. So there's substantive issues that Roberts comes up with sometimes, and it's also the process that you point out, that he and Coney Barrett are particularly against the idea of accelerating cases on the emergency docket to the Supreme Court. They like cases to go through their normal process, which is district court, circuit court of appeals, sometimes with a panel, sometimes with the full court, sometimes both, and then ultimately the Supreme Court, which takes typically 18 to 24 months or longer. So, and as far as Coney Barrett, I would, and even Roberts, I would remind people that most of the time they do come through with a more conservative read of things. There's the Dobbs decision, which, of course, overturned Roe v. Wade, where they were both two reliable votes on the conservative side. So I think when it usually when it counts, they can come up, they can be relied on to come up with a reasonable interpretation of the law. But, yeah, I mean, there's been some concerns even recently with this case on national injunctions, right, and whether district courts can just put a put the kibosh on something nationwide, even though it's only before them in a particular person in a particular district. And yet they say, we're going to apply our injunction everywhere. Right. And Coney Barrett, she raised some questions at the oral arguments recently that showed she may have some leaning toward the progressive argument here. So again, the verdict, the jury's not out yet, so to speak. We don't know how she'll ultimately rule, but she did raise some questions that kind of raised some eyebrows on our side.
When you're looking at those district court judges and what many of us, I'm not speaking for you, but speaking for myself, I think they're definitely overstepping their bounds by having, as you say, one person, in some cases, just tangentially connected to their district and then applying this nationwide. You told us a week or two ago that it really had to be handled by Congress, that the Chief Justice, despite what most of us think, he doesn't really run the entire federal court system. And so since these districts are creations of Congress, they either have to defund them or change them. Are you getting any sense that anybody there wants to do that?
You know, if there's anyone to be a little disappointed with on our side, it is the Republicans in Congress, because it doesn't seem difficult to discern what exactly their priorities are these days. I think that one of them very much should be a look at the construct and the jurisdiction of our Article III courts, which, as you point out, other than the Supreme Court, which is the only court that is established by the Constitution, all the other 93 districts and their respective circuits above them are created by Congress. And Congress in the past has limited their jurisdiction over certain kinds of matters. And so it's probably going to be up to Congress to continue to do that. So if we think, and don't take my word for it, just look at the numbers, there's been an explosion of these district court nationwide injunctions under President Trump. There were virtually none before his first term. It spiked under his first term. Then they flattened out and they've spiked again. So you have very, very aggressive district judges applying their rulings nationwide. And again, if someone doesn't kind of pull the leash on them, it will continue. And I don't know if Chief Justice Roberts has the chops to do that.
Is Pam Bondi in a situation to say we are going to pursue some sort of legal action with decisions that were made inside the Biden White House? The more we know about where Joe Biden was cognitively, mentally, it's clear he couldn't make these decisions, the auto pen, all that stuff. Does she have the standing to go in, I don't know, to the Supreme Court and say we have to unravel all this stuff?
It's going to be tough. I mean, gosh, I think we all saw with our own eyes what was going on. And I think the gaslighting by the media was just unreal, basically working as an extension of the White House press office and covering Biden's tracks. And I do think that this is a ripe issue for Congress to at least hold hearings. I know those hearings don't always amount to much, but they are able to flush out what happened, because they can issue subpoenas and demand testimony. So at a minimum, I think we should see that, to see what exactly the former president's cognitive state was, his health state in general with this recent cancer prognosis. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's okay, but the idea that this was just discovered last week is very, very sketchy. So to answer your question, yes, I think the Justice Department should pursue it, but there's going to be a lot of fact-finding first. And I think you're going to see a huge application or assertion of executive privilege. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, well, I worked for the president and I can't talk about what we discussed. And that's not a very solid concept. It's not like attorney-client privilege, which is very solid. Yep. Executive privilege has its limitations, but I think you're going to hear a lot of that for people who do not want to actually admit what they saw and heard over the last 4 years.
Interesting. Wow, it's always fascinating stuff, Joe. I am so grateful to you for always making time for us and always explaining this in ways that laymen like me can understand it. And I just thank you for it. Remind everybody, though, in addition to showing up here, which is fantastic, you show up all over the place, writings that are out there. Remind everybody where they can follow you on social media, where they can read you, etc.
Hey, you can catch me at The Spectator, which is an online magazine and print as well. It's a fantastic periodical that stems from our brothers and sisters in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the BBC a lot. So I guess I could say getting a lot of publicity from our friends across the pond. But always a fun time, Jeff, to join you and your viewers.
You are the best. Thank you, my friend. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, but more importantly, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is, yes, it is Tuesday. I'm a little too excited for Tuesday, right? But I'll tell you what, we're going to do at 4 o'clock. The dust-up between Secretary of State Marco Rubio and our very own Tiny Tim Kaine in the U.S. Senate it was priceless. It was absolutely priceless. And it was so, well, priceless. I'm sticking with priceless, Jerm. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? But it was so interesting that Jeremy said, I just can't pull the best pieces. It's like hit after hit after hit. They're all chart toppers, for those of you that are old-time music people, right? Well, what we're going to do at 4 o'clock, let's just, Jeremy, if it's all right, let's just roll it. We'll listen to it, and if we have to stop it, we'll stop it. And while you are getting ready for that, let me urge you, head on over right now, go.richmond.com/thebest. Nominate The Jeff Katz Show for Best Afternoon Radio Show. go.richmond.com/thebest. Couple of things happen. Number one, you put this show in a stronger position for everything that we do. You want to hear President Trump on again? Well, you got to make sure we're once again the best afternoon show in all of Central Virginia. You want to make sure the biggest names are dropping by. You want to make sure that we're reaching as many people. That's what you have to do. go.richmond.com/thebest. And just for added giggles, it really annoys all of the leftists at the newspaper. So see, it's a win-win. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.